Hello, my name is Wayne O'Connor. The following paper, To Trump or Not to Trump, was originally written on April 19th, 2016, and is now become Chapter 10 of my newest book, Kingdom Lessons 2, Dreamscapes and Prayer Closet Epiphanies, which will be available soon at Amazon.com and other fine bookstores. Well, on to my paper. To Trump or not to Trump? My friends seem to be strongly opinionated in diverse directions concerning the Donald. I have friends, Christians and non-Christians, who love Trump, and I have friends, Christians and non-Christians, who hate Trump. This strong reverse polarity has sent me to my prayer closet a few times in the last several months. Earlier in the morning, while praying about this issue, the preceding verses came strongly to mind. They are from the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, verses 33 through 39, and I will read from the King James Version. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, one in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And I now say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. This is the end of the section from Acts chapter 5. As I said, earlier in the morning, while praying about the issue, the preceding verses came strongly to mind. I feel as if the Lord was saying to me that the truth would become evident. Unfortunately, I lost the post, but I had recently written something to the effect that whether you love or hate Donald Trump, that my prediction was that the Lord would use this issue to show just how far down the rabbit hole of corruption most of the media and government have gone. I believe the recent actions of the RNC and DNC, no matter which party you prefer, vindicated my statement. All this to say that whether you believe Trump is a servant of Jesus or a servant of the devil, or whether you believe he is a contemporary patron saint, or the next American Adolf Hitler, that eventually we will see the results in stark clarity. Another point we need to be mindful not to forget is that if God can use Balaam's ass, he may use you, me, or the Donald, or not. Second, God used King Neb and King Cyrus, so if he chooses a political leader for a reason, they may not necessarily be paragons of Christian virtue. So my charge to you is to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves with each other and your friends, family, and neighbors. If Trump has been chosen by God merely to display the progress of the secret government and the dark kingdom in their goal to bring the one-world government, eventually that result will become undeniable. If God has chosen Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States, it will happen. In the meantime, as you might expect, the dark kingdom will pull all the puppet strings. Rather than getting caught up in infighting, we need to keep focusing on our relationship with Jesus Christ and asking the Lord, "What do you want me to do for today?" Whether you want Donald Trump as president or not, you have a responsibility to pray for both Donald Trump and the leadership of this country, which is recorded in 1 Timothy. Strangely, this seems to be an obscure verse. When making reference to this verse, I have even heard pastors quip, "Where do you see that? That verse isn't in my Bible." So now I will share with you from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 in the King James Version. "I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." This is the end of the section from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. In conclusion, if the Lord wishes to use Donald Trump for his kingdom, he has the sovereignty to do so. If the Lord is not behind Trump for president, then the Donald's bid for the presidency will come to naught. Even if Trump is God's choice, the story may be filled in cliched writer's parlance with black moments. From continued media bias, voter fraud shenanigans, attempted character and physical assassinations, to a national emergency suspension of elections. But in the end, and only through God's personal intervention, Trump will triumph. So, in the words of Gamaliel, as found in Acts 5:38, quote, "If this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." End quote. Whether or not Trump is God's servant of the hour for the United States, we as Christians have a primary responsibility. We need to find out what Jesus is calling us to do in general and specifically concerning this issue, and then do it. Why do so many Christians disagree so vehemently concerning the character or presidential potential of Donald Trump? My best guess is that we all view the Donald through our own personal filters. Much as in the blind men and the elephant scenario, accurate or not, we often tend to base our opinion on incomplete knowledge. If we personally feel that Trump is evil, we will more readily see those elements of his character that remind us of famous evil people, like Adolf Hitler. If we personally feel that Donald Trump is a man of good character, we will tend to see those elements that justify our decision to support his candidacy. Some Christians who feel that judgment is coming to this nation believe that Trump's victory will not change that outcome. Basically, it comes down to this. Most of those who solidly back Trump don't need to be rocket scientists to see the potential for general evil that will result if Hillary becomes the next leader or if Obama refuses to give up his seat. Most people do not realize that because of Hillary's failing health, that it is unlikely, if elected, that she will survive to fill her presidential term. What that means is that any vote for Hillary, lawful or unlawful, honest or rigged, is a vote for her vice presidential pick, Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine was educated for many years, including post-high school, by Jesuit teachers and is very strongly Catholic by belief. Some believe that Kaine's primary allegiance will be to the Jesuit order and secondarily to the Catholic Church. The current pope is a Jesuit. The Jesuits have always been radical and allied with the satanic shadow government that is responsible to control the Catholic Church and to influence the Protestant Church. The New World Order may want Hillary because they feel she will be easy to blackmail into obedience. My assumption is that they believe she would make a convenient Illuminati sacrifice to death, disabled institutionalization, or prison if she does win the election. Either way, the Illuminati believes that she has the potential to counter the, quote, loose cannon, unquote, Trump's bid for the presidency. Whether Trump is God's man of the hour, or a secret Prince of Darkness wildcard, is all part of the end times shell game. On the other hand, the Vatican, which is another lead daughter of Babylon, will feel that its best chance to jockey into a stronger position post-2016 is through setting up Cain to be their American policy asset. While the Illuminati and the shadow government of the Vatican may well indeed serve the same puppet master, there is always infighting for dominance between the lead daughters of the Army of Darkness. The Sons of Ishmael contingent, which was actually a creation of the Vatican, may end up being a joker in the deck that turns around and bites them. All this to say, the real key is this. Those Christians, as well as some non-Christians, who are supporting Trump, right or wrong, wise or foolish, can see the impending doom that is coming to America. They are feverishly desperate to forestall the fall of the United States. They are anxiously holding on for dear life, as the old saying goes, to the promise of preserving safety and daily provision. And let's face it, maintaining the legendary American dream lifestyle for themselves and their children. To them, Trump is the only viable option. He is the religious last Trump, sounding a glorious bugle call promise to win back a Christian comfortable environment for the nation, while simultaneously resurrecting a dying, lost in sin America. Whether these sentiments are noble or tainted depends on our personal motives. God views our motives with stark clarity, even when we cannot. While I think "Let's make America great again" is a masterful slogan, it does not reflect reality from a genuine Christian perspective. In truth, only Jesus can make America great again. Will Jesus give us another chance, or will the judgment keep coming? God did give evil Nineveh another chance, much to the despair of Jonah, who thirsted for their wickedness to be recompensed in a blaze of divine fury. One big difference between America and Nineveh is that Nineveh repented. Unfortunately, many Americans, Christian or not, have no intention of repenting, or they will repent temporarily until they feel that the danger has passed, and then walk back into their sins of choice. While not being complacent, we must understand that our specific callings, in general and for certain issues, will not be carbon copies for each brother and sister in Jesus. You may agree or disagree, but I strongly feel that even if Trump is God's choice for the next president, as individual Christians, our role in that plan will vary not only in activity, but in scale. If the Lord does not really have a Trump for President sign next to his throne, he may still use Trump for kingdom purposes. Moreover, there is a fine line here. While not falling into complacency, we are also responsible to avoid fighting God or doing the work of the flesh while thinking we are doing the work of God's kingdom. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Please visit my blog at WayneOConnor.com. That's small letters, WayneOConnor.com.